Yesterday here on the program, we looked at the issue of soaring house prices, which are putting the dream of home ownership beyond the reach of many middle-income earners in this country. The problem was underscored by a new international survey, which shows Australia's five main capital cities are, quote, severely unaffordable, with median house prices now up to 12 times median incomes. The Turnbull government is finalising a new agenda for city building, which will include housing and greening the urban environment. Greg Hunt is the Environment Minister. He's also the Acting Minister for Cities. Minister, good morning. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Australian cities, and you quote this regularly, are regarded as some of the most livable in the world. But how can we continue to boast about our most livable cities when fewer and fewer Australians can afford to live in them?
Look, I think this is a very important point. There are two pillars to what we need for Australians in terms of their cities. They have to be livable, which is about the planning, the transport and the greening, but they also have to be affordable. I don't think anybody would be surprised by the results of what's called the Demographia survey into housing affordability around the world. I think it covers about 87 major metropolitan markets, and it's found that Australia's cities are near the top of the cost curve in terms of median income versus the price of houses. So there is a serious issue there.
There certainly is. Sydney, now ranked number two as the least affordable city in the world, but a lot more cities in there. It takes more than 12 times the median income in Sydney to afford the median house price. Does that represent a complete failure of housing policy? Is there any other way to see this?
Look, I think it represents a significant challenge. So in theory, these are state issues. In practice, we want to engage and deal with it because if as a federal government you're not dealing with it, then ultimately it'll just be an Australian problem. So there are probably three things we want to do. One is work with the states on land release. At the base of
Do you agree issue, with Bob Day, who we spoke to yesterday? He said land release, out and out, number one, the key to this.
Well, I think it's one of the three critical elements. One, land release. Two, the cost of building, and this is in particular in relation to the inner city apartments where there is an urban infill, and that's where the Trade Union Royal Commission has been trying to address some of the issues around building costs, building construction. And then the third is bureaucracy. We're working with all of the states and offering to work on strategic assessments to help with long-term planning so you've got a very clear plan but a very rapid process. So there are our basic things, but you know, right at the heart of this is making sure that there is land available in the areas that are new, but that it's planned so as you have large green spaces, you have urban canopies that are expanding, not contracting, which is very possible. Singapore has achieved that. Australia can achieve that. And then at the same time, in the inner areas where apartments are being built, that they're built in a way which is affordable, and there are many examples from around the world. And
but Minister, you're absolutely
right. The
costs
of the construction industry are part of this.
You're absolutely right. We know there's examples in the world of cities are doing it better. The point is, how do we do it better? In Sydney, if you're talking about land release, then a lot of the new land is on the outskirts of the city. Already, there's been an 82% fall in the number of lower income earners living within 10 km of the city. People are being pushed further and further away from where their jobs are. In your hometown of Melbourne, there's a plan working on a 20-minute city model, which involves changing the mix of suburban land use so residents can live 20 minutes on average from their jobs, which sounds smart. But how do you do that? How do you put the jobs into the outer suburbs where the people are, and that's only going to be more outer as we get to release more land, hopefully?
Well, there are two things there. One, for example, you look at major projects that are appropriate for outer areas. So let me give you a case study. The Western Sydney Airport, you know, this will bring thousands and thousands of jobs to Western Sydney. We all know that in Sydney, the population, the demographic centre has progressively moved west. Instead of having all of those, well, many of those people having to commute into the city with enormous transport times, congestion issues, creating not just a transportation node, but also a centre which is based around the academic world around new technology, innovation in Western Sydney. So it's a whole precinct is something about, you know, very significant jobs in Melbourne. There's an example of land release that the Commonwealth could be engaged with. There's been a two-decade fight over the old Maribyrnong defence land, where the state has demanded it be cleaned up. The Commonwealth has said, well, we want to make sure that there's a reasonable return. There are very good examples as to how those problems can be dealt with. Elephant and Castle in London, Barangaroo.
People just got to get on with it, Minister. I mean, Peter Costello was talking about land release, and that's a long time ago now.
Well, I'm in this job now for 4 weeks. We put out one major statement. We're now about to put out in the coming 6 weeks a very significant cities paper, and the Prime Minister himself is right at the heart of a national summit. But it then comes down to practical actions, land, building costs and bureaucracy, and we're willing to do the strategic assessments to provide a long-term blueprint which would cut through a lot of the bureaucracy and reduce time with each of our capital cities.
Okay. Minister, you're also Environment Minister, and as Cities and Environment Minister, you've been speaking lately about urban canopies greening our cities. As we speak, the New South Wales State Government is cutting down trees in Sydney around Centennial Park, not just any old trees, hundreds of beautiful, huge fig trees, some of them more than 100 years old, to make way for a light rail. The local council's objected, residents objected to no end. Will you intervene to take a look at this before any more of those trees are cut down?
Well, there isn't, unless there is a matter of national environmental significance, there isn't a federal power in that space. But my overall approach here is to see a dramatic and significant increase in overall urban canopy coverage. What does it mean? It means we're putting in 20 million trees in our cities and around our cities. We've got green armies deployed. We've created.
But meanwhile, these beautiful trees along Centennial Park and along a bike path and along a footpath, experts say there's other viable routes for parts of this light rail. They're being chopped down. Are you saying there's nothing you can do, or you're not prepared to even have a look?
Look, I'll always look at ideas and proposals that people put forward. But my approach is to make sure that we are increasing the overall coverage. My bias is always, wherever possible, to retain and protect trees. I'm not going to, on the fly, try to say whether or not any specific tree is the right tree. There are local governments that are far better qualified to comment on individual plans than state governments more broadly. Under a federal system, that's what we should be doing. However, what I have long advocated is that we should have integrated planning commissions, where you have state governments at the heart, but federal and local included. They look at a long-term master plan for the city, so as we are increasing our overall tree coverage, increasing our overall urban canopy, that has an impact on quality of life. It has an impact on the urban heat island. And wherever possible, my goal is always to try to protect and save trees, and in particular, our iconic trees.
It's 7:45. Our guest is the Federal Environment Minister and Acting Minister for Cities, Greg Hunt. Minister, just briefly, some broader issues. Tony Abbott is in the United States. He'll be addressing an ultra-conservative religious lobby group. Are you comfortable with the former PM associating with a group that opposes abortion and marriage equality?
Look, I think it's a matter for him. In my case, it's well known that I believe in free choice on that particular issue in terms of abortion or the existing Australian laws. But everybody is entitled to their views, as the Prime Minister himself has said.
And just very briefly on another matter, you're also a Republican. The Prime Minister says the timing's not right to push for another referendum on a republic. Would you like him to take up the baton?
Look,
there's a political consensus emerging around this in the states and territories.
I think it's something that will emerge over time as to whether or not there is another vote. In terms of the history to come, I think there will be. My own approach, I've set out previously that, yes, I support it. It's not a priority. I do want to see, in terms of the social issues, a referendum on Indigenous recognition within the Constitution. And we also have this year the deep, powerful, important task of housing affordability and job creation. it's a matter that I think over time will emerge, and I favour what's called a dual key, or a dual key model of people's nomination and parliamentary approval. I think that's something that'll give us a balance, but this will be a debate that is one to develop over the medium term, not to displace the really powerful short-term issues of job creation and housing affordability, I think, over the next year and 18 months.
Greg Hunt, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran. Take care.
Greg Hunt is the Federal Environment Minister and Acting Minister for Cities.